May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had an occasion to watch a sunrise? First, there's the pitch black darkness that starts to mellow into a lighter and lighter gray. And then there's the beginning of a baby blue with hints of peach, tinted with yellow. And the air starts to change. And you can almost feel the warmth as it spreads across the sky from the east, like a blanket unfolding over the sky. I watched a sunrise yesterday morning driving in, and the thought suddenly occurred to me. In my mind's eye, I could see our beautiful blue planet hurtling through space, rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. It, us, the oceans, everything moving. And yet here we are, sitting still. Think of what scientists call the Goldilocks. The Goldilocks. I've lost it. We are in the Goldilocks plane era. You know what I'm talking about? The little space that if we were just closer to the sun, we wouldn't be here and there'd be no ocean. And if we were just further enough away from the sun, I mean, we are the Goldilocks zone. How did that happen? There is hardly anything in creation that does not evoke wonder and awe if we let it. And there's hardly anything in life that doesn't do the same. Did you hear what Jesus said? Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, and yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Y'all, we are the least in the kingdom of heaven. We're in the kingdom. Amazing. John the Baptizer is wondering. He has heard and been obedient to God's word for and through him, and yet he's now in prison unjustly. Now, he hasn't committed a crime except for telling Herod that his marriage to his brother Philip's wife is incestuous. It's an unfortunate state of affairs, and even Jesus has moved from Nazareth to Galilee to pick up John's message of repentance. But now John is in prison and wonders about what he has expected versus what he is experiencing. If I say to you, we are now in the kingdom of heaven, what is it that you expect? What is it that you're experiencing? How many of us have done all of the right things, we thought, only to receive the not so desirable results, like John? We may have been left wondering because things have not quite turned out as we expected. And yet I tell you, we are in the kingdom. But expectations are funny things. Craft them with boundaries to allow certain things in and certain things out. And if we have a certain expectation in mind, we at least feel like we have some sense of control. And control for human beings is an illusion. John in prison has lost control, and yet John in prison has not lost his faith. For he asks, shall we wait for another? I ask you, what happens if we exchange our expectations for wonder? What happens when we allow our expectations to become pregnant with possibilities? The stories that are coming at us now, after this third Sunday of Advent, are stories of wonder and expectation without boundaries and without control. As one writer has called it, these stories that are coming at us now have the sense of holy bewilderment. Because actual faith leads to wonder. And wonder is the openness and receptivity to what is possible beyond our certainties. And so John wonders. Holy wondering, pregnant expectation is necessary if we're ever to reflect in faith that all things are possible with God. How many times have we read that text? All things are possible with God. And who believes it? We go in our hoity-toity little way, doing things the way we've always done them, expecting nothing different. You ever prayed for healing and then got healed and everybody's amazed? Isn't that what you asked for? All things are possible with God. And our bewilderment becomes holy because the mystery of God leads us into healing and wholeness. God is leading us into God's self. This perplexity points us away from what we expect into new and unconsidered possibilities. And don't you know, this had to have been the way with the Blessed Mother when the angel Gabriel announces to her that she's going to have a baby. And she says, how can this be? Both Mary and John the Baptizer's questions, grounded in true inquiry, not interrogating God, but asking God about the possibility. How can this be? You ever check out kids? They're always wondering. And maybe this is why God uses them to speak. Maybe this is why children speak holy words, because they haven't been conditioned out of the wonder and awe, which is their divine state. We are human and divine. I don't know how much more to say it. Because we are perceiving, experiencing life one way, doesn't mean that that's the only way there is. With God, all things are possible. Either God is God or God ain't. And if God ain't God, not what we image, the God who truly is, why are we here? We could be at Starbucks reading the Wall Street Journal. This is the question for our age. The Mother Mary asked, how can this be, to the angel who said, I know you haven't been sleeping with anybody. You've never had a man before, but you're going to have a baby. She said, how can this be? This is the question for us. How can Christ be in us? Do you really want to know? That's the question for the current age. And to receive the answer, we've got to go further and deeper. We've got to learn to unknow our knowable God. The God we've got is an image. It ain't God. If the answers we currently have for the situations of our lives, in our city, in our individual worlds, our personal lives, in this country, on the globe. If we could have fixed any of this stuff, it would already be fixed. If there was a way beyond racism, wouldn't we have already found it? And we thinking, oh, we're just human beings. Because we don't know the possibilities of the God who is. God wants us to know of our loveliness, and that because we are loved, God will offer us, will give us, show us, we will know God's love through touch, through what we will realize, through what we will experience. Because we are a part of God, and God is a part of us. Where's Carol? Carol, where are you? She's not gonna raise her hand because she's... There you are. So I've been asking the question, how can Christ be in me? And I actually found, I'm finding the answer, right? And what's so powerful about this is that when you are experiencing love, unexpected, it just shows up, you are connected to God, to love. You are being love, and you are connecting to love as it comes into you. I don't know if that makes any sense. For some of you, it will. It'll make perfect sense. When you're open to receive and give love, when you're open to give love, you're open to receive love. The Spirit of God, that image of God, is already in us. And lo and behold, I preached yesterday at Faith at 5, and Carol was there. And so she shows up this morning, and she says, I heard the sermon, and I figure this must be God inside of us. This must be God in us. God is like this light that's inside of us. It's always there. And when we're open and we offer it, it comes back into us. I had no idea this was going to show up today, and it did. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences in a universe ruled by divine order. What happens when I ask myself, can I, do I love God enough to let God be God and not my favorite and safe image? As much as we talk about the already and not yet aspects of the second advent of Christ, we're all talking about Christ is coming back. I believe it's possible that we're the ones who are holding up the process. We're the ones who's keeping Christ from being realized fully in the world. Because we don't expect that. We're not pregnant with the possibilities of what a world of no war, or no greed, no power, no hierarchy, no domination, no oppression, where there are no prisons, or there's no real law except the law to love. We can't even imagine it. We can't visualize blooming deserts and blossoming crocuses like Patty read. But that doesn't mean they're not coming. My prayer for us, for this year that's ending and the year to come, is that Christ Jesus would grant us the grace of imagination, of simply imagining the pregnant expectations all around us. God is not here to hurt us, to make us not have, to make, you know, all the things that we think. God is here to help us to become our highest selves. Our highest self is the Christ, God in us. The means of grace and the hope of glory. The portal has been opened because of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. All we have to do is live into it. So I ask God to grant us the grace of knowing pregnant expectations this season and in the seasons of our lives to come. And anytime I ask, I always know that I will be given what I ask for. So I always end it with, please and thank you. Amen.